In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with Louisa. She finds peace in everything in the Most Holy Divine Will, Part 1. And we are on page 8, the bottom of page 8, volume 9, 7/14/1909. My daughter, if these were fantasies, dreams, demons, they would not have so much strength as to make you possess the halo of peace. So here, Louisa was always wondering, I mean, she'd listen to Jesus, and she would say to him, I don't know if I'm just dreaming, if this is, are these fantasies, or is it demons that are talking to me? And again, it shows you the need for spiritual direction. This is the thing that's so amazing. Our Lord loves us very, very much, and he wants us to be drawn to him, but we need direction. No one has a complete understanding of the direction of God. This is why spiritual direction is so important, especially with this gift of the divine will. I've heard many people talk about the divine will in a very inaccurate way because they say, well, this is what Jesus said. And I've been in many discussions with many people who I've given a talk, and then they've come, oh, this is what you mean. Jesus says dot, 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 dot. And I go, no. Jesus says this, dot, 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 dot. And they go, well, that's what I just said. And I said, no, you didn't say that. You expressed something completely the opposite of what Jesus was saying. And they go, no, it's exactly what you said. I said, no, it's not anything near of what I said. Now, the reason is there are three voices. You have the voice of God. You have your own voice. And you have the voice of the evil one. And they all sound the same. It's the same, what do you want to say, tone. It's the same wavelength of vibrations. But each has a different meaning. And this is what is needed. I've had many people say, well, I have the gift of healing, or I have the gift of discernment, I have the gift of deliverance, I have the gift of... And I go, why do you say that? Well, the Lord told me. And it's like, okay. And I found that many, because the Lord told them, decided on their own, this is what God has given me. And you need... Louisa needed Jesus to reveal to her the truths. And this is why he would say, I have a priest in your life. Just like with my mother, I had a priest in her life. The Apostle John. When you hear something, you know, I'm not talking with your ears. When you're in prayer and something comes to mind, you have to discuss this with your spiritual director, and it should be a priest, not a layperson. I know, well, I have the gift of understanding what God says. Well, who says that? You know, I mean, with a priest, there is a difference. There is an ontological change that occurs at the ordination of a priest. We've heard many times people say, that was a great homily given by that layperson. And it was a great talk. It's not a homily. Oh, it was wonderful. I understood exactly what they were saying. And it was so wonderful. It was so beautiful. But it wasn't a priest. It wasn't a bishop. It wasn't a deacon. And I'm going, well, that was a good talk. But a homily is different. With the ontological change of priesthood, at the ordination of priesthood, what happens is, when the homily is given by the cleric, what happens is Jesus is touching the soul. And that's why Jesus would say to Louisa, go to your confessor, ask him. And so she would always be obedient to Jesus, and she'd go to the confessor. And a number of times Louisa would say, but the confessor says exactly the opposite of what you're saying. And Jesus says, that's okay. You just keep on going to him, and I'll clarify what is needed to him. And in this time and age, I've heard many people say, well, there's no priests, there's no bishops, there's no deacons to talk to about the divine will. It's our job. I'm talking about lay people, the lay person's job to pray for the priests, pray for the bishops, pray for the deacons, because you get what you deserve. Without prayer, and remember, Jesus taught one prayer, the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the thing that's so beautiful about this gift. It's Jesus' prayer that he is fulfilling in us. But he also said to the community, pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. This is priests, bishops, and deacons. And if there's a shortage, it's because we're not praying enough. If they're not focused on God, it's because we're not praying enough for them. God always chooses the weakest. And why? To prove that it's not them, it's not a human, but it's God that's doing this. And when you have poor homilies, it's because we're not praying enough. It's like watering a plant. The priest, the bishop, the deacon waters the earth so that the seeds of the earth will grow. What God is bringing about will happen. But it's the lay people too that have to pray for the priests, the deacons, the bishops. So that they can have the water to give to the earth. Remember what our Louisa says to in her second appeal. She says to you priests, the first appeal is to the Holy Father, that he must be the first to live in the divine will. He is the head of the Catholic Church, therefore the head of the divine will. And she says very clearly that the priests give stale and hard bread for the people to eat, and they can't digest this food. Our job, I should say, the layperson's job, is to pray that the priests begin to embrace this great and powerful gift, this gift of the divine will. So what your spiritual director does, what the priest helps you understand, is the three voices. And I'm not talking about what you hear with your ears. When you pray, you have to begin to understand the voice of Jesus, your own voice, and the voice of the evil one. They all sound the same. But what's involved in those words are of God, or of your own flesh, or of the devil. And our Lord is asking us to listen to what he says to Louisa. He says, Louisa, these fantasies, these dreams, these demons that you say, that you're hearing, he says, they would not have so much the strength as to make you possess this halo of peace, this life of sanctity, of peace, joy, and happiness. And this is what happens when you read the volumes. When you really read the volumes, you're happy. It's Jesus speaking to you. Now, what is he saying? Okay, if there's any confusion, a verification of what you believe Jesus is saying to you in the Book of Heaven, you go to the priest. You say, Father, this is what I've gotten in prayer. It's people don't understand that you don't go to the priest every day and say, I read this and it was really wonderful and thank you. Well, this was really great. No, it's The priest is there to help you with any theological questions, any questions on truths that Jesus has revealed to Louisa, these knowledges. It's Jesus says this, and I think he means this or that or that. And that's what you'd ask the priest. Is he asking this or is he asking that? You know, which way do I go? How do I understand these words of Jesus to Louisa? And another big mistake people make is when they read the volumes, they don't first of all say, this is what Jesus said to the newborn, Louisa Picaretta. They say, Jesus is saying this to me. I now possess all that Jesus said. No, 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 no. Louisa studied this, you know, for 70 years, according to Archbishop Echeri. Read it, studied it, put it into practice. She began to live message of truths that Jesus, the way, the truth, and life spoke to her. And it took her years. I remember when you look at volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. How does this happen? Reading, studying, and putting this into practice to understand how to do the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10. And what does Jesus say in volume 10? How sad he is, the terrible plight of his priesthood, the priests, the terrible plight that they're in. He said in 1900, I find no masculine priests. They're feminine. What does that mean? The understanding of masculine is the warrior, the fighter. That's why angels are all considered male, because they're fighters. It's a different bone structure, a different muscle build that men have compared to women. It's not that women are inferior. It's a man will fight to the death. It's the difference between men and women is very profound. It's a man. The problem in marriages is communication. A man thinks differently than a woman. A woman has a more spiritual aspect than a man. When a man says to me, how do I hear the Holy Spirit? I say, listen to your wife. If your wife is prayerful, if your wife is focused on God, and you want to know what God is asking, ask her, talk to her. And she'll give you the spiritual side of the home, the heart of the home, where the man is the head of the home. We're going to do this. This is what we're going to do. And it's not that he's better. This is how God has planned. It's like a man can't give birth. You know, he can't carry a child for 9 months as a woman. The woman was made to be mother, and that's not a man's job. Same thing with priesthood. The priest, when a man believes in God, he will fight to the death for God. But what happens is in this world, a man is overwhelmed, if you want to say, with the things of the world. And if he doesn't have God, he can't nurture his family. He can't help his family with the discipline of faith. He might give the family the discipline of sports or the discipline of building, you know, farming, but it's the main thing a man is called to do is to give blessings to his family, so that the family can grow in the knowledge of God, grow in the faith. He gives to his family the faith. And again, it's like a man in battle, you know, fights to the death. And it's not saying that women don't fight to the death, but there is a DNA in a man that's not there in a woman. And it's not saying that women are inferior. It's a man can't, you know, no matter how much he wants to give birth, he can't do that. It's not part of his DNA. And the Lord is looking at us, and he gives us this lesson so that we can begin to understand what Jesus is saying to Louisa is not a fantasy. I've had many people say, well, that's not Catholic. Well, what do you mean it's not Catholic? It's everything that the saints are showing in their lives for the last 2,000 years, but it's deeper. It's like when you do a painting, when you get the canvas, you stretch the canvas, you paint the canvas white, and then what do you do? Normally, you draw on the canvas what you want to do with a pencil. Okay, I want to do this. This is what I want. All right, and then you fill it in with paint. You go, okay, this is the desire, the dream that I have for this canvas. Well, that's the same thing here. What Jesus is showing is this gift of the divine will is so magnificent. It's so beautiful that Jesus wants us to go back, not just doing the will of God with the saints, but living in the will of God. Okay, that means that volume 11 through volume 19, how to begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Volume 1 through volume 10 is how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, so that you are in his image. And now volume 11 through 19 is how to receive the gift of living in the divine will through the whole power of the Holy Spirit. And then the third part is volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. See, it's, remember the 3 years that Pope John Paul II gave us, 1997, 1998, 1999. 1997 was the year of Jesus. 1998 was the year of the Holy Spirit. 1999 was the year of the Father. Why? To get us ready for the third millennium, the year 2000, which John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II said, we're going to enter later on, he said, a new and divine way of holiness. It's the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. That's where we are right now. This magnificence of what God is going to do, this explosion of I love you, which God wants to pour upon the earth, is given to mankind. And here it is in the book of heaven. And he's saying to us, you know, as you read, what has given you the strength to make you possess this halo, this saintly life of peace? What has given you this? Now, again, this is at volume 9, doing the will of God. This is why the saints were mostly peaceful, joyful, and happy, because they learned how to do the will of God. When Jesus goes into volume 11, everything begins to change of living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then as you go into volume 20 to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, it's something even more beautiful. So he's saying to us, don't get distracted. If you have a question, go to your confessor, go to your priest, say, Father, this is, what will that do? What will that question do? It will help the priest understand that this is different than what God gave to the saints. It's not foreign. It's like a tricycle to a bicycle. There's something different here. You only got two wheels. And then from a bicycle to a motorcycle, this has got a motor on it. And then from a motorcycle to a car, this has got four wheels on it. It's different. And it's a means of transportation, but everything seems to be getting better. And that's what God is doing with this gift. He's asking us, do you have any questions? Now, even your question is important for the priest. You'll say, Father, look it. I get this from St. Teresa. I get this from St. Clair. I get this from St. Francis. I get this from St. Thomas Aquinas. But Jesus is saying this. What's the difference? How come this sets my heart on fire more than what Jesus spoke to the saints about? And that will get the priest to start thinking, what's the difference? It's the same thing. That's what will be said. This is the same thing. I mean, I have many people saying that. Oh, this is not new. The church has been teaching this for years. It's just another way of getting close to God. It's another way of prayer. It's different, but it's not new. Well, it's not new. It's what God gave to Adam. It's not new. It's the life that Jesus and Mary lived. It's more magnificent. It's like a tricycle compared to a Lamborghini. There's something here that, wow, what has the Lord done? What is the Lord doing? And that's the question that when you talk to your priest, you'll get him interested in, well, it's the same thing. You know, stop bothering me. It's the same thing. No, Father, it's different. This is different. And then as he begins to read, as he begins to study this, God opens the door for him. See, you are the way to get the priests to begin to read, study, and put this into practice. The bishops to read, to study, put this into practice. Your questions are important. It's not doubts. It's not worries. It's not fears. It's not anxieties. It's not complaints. It's not negativities. It's not sin. What Jesus is showing you is something that is so magnificent. And that question is Jesus saying, do you want to understand what this means? This is what he's saying to Louisa. These aren't dreams. These aren't fantasies. These aren't demons that's speaking to you. That's making you possess this heaven of peace, this halo of peace. And then he says, it's not for one day, but for as many as 25 years. Now, some of us have been reading for 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. I wish I was taught this as a child. I wish that this could have been read to me when I was in the womb. I wish that this great gift was known when I was conceived. I wish. But with this gift of the divine will, everything can be repaired and redone. That's the beauty of this. I can go back to the moment of my conception and with Jesus be conceived in the womb of Mary. With Jesus, with and through and for and in him. As he's done everything with and through and for me. One with Jesus. And everything's being repaired. And now, the women who are pregnant, who have this gift of the divine will, can read it to their children. And while they're still in the womb, do you see what's coming? This new and abundant life is coming to the earth. And our Lord has given us this great opportunity to read, to study, to put this into practice. This is not what St. Thomas Aquinas taught. It's more than that. Sorry. It's not to be focused on saintly, good, and holy. It's to enter into the divine. This is why the priest says every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ. This is a very important prayer. Very important prayer. May we share in the divinity of Christ. And our response is, yes, I want this more than anything. Why? Because you, Jesus, want this. How do I know it? It's because what you have told Louisa. And it's so deep, it's so beautiful, it's so holy that even Thomas Aquinas said when he was writing the third part of the Summa, everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. What God is doing. He never finished the Summa. It wasn't that he was distracted. He became filled with this light, which I say is just a glimpse of what Jesus said to Louisa. And he went, wow, what I'm doing is... And you think about it. In the seminaries, they focus on St. Thomas Aquinas. It's mere straw. This is why Archbishop Corrado, he was the before Archbishop Cassati, said he studied Louisa in the seminary. They studied it. And when he was made Archbishop of Trani with Corrado, as the one of the cities of Trani, he was so happy. He says, I'm with the one that I was taught when I was in the seminary. And he really helped get everything off the ground. So when Archbishop Cassati came in, who worked in the Sacred Congregation of the Saints, the cause began. And who do they go to? They go to Pope St. John Paul II and Cardinal Ratzinger. And they were given permission to start the cause. And after 11 years, the cause was finished, and they said, through now Archbishop Piceri, we believe that Louisa should be canonized. And now, here it is, a few years later, and everybody who's read Louisa says, yes, 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 yes. But then you get new people that come in and go, wait a minute, what is this about? And the reason is these questions are helping others get to a deeper understanding of what this is all about. So what Don Sergio has told us is now we're in a new phase of focusing on Louisa. And this is good. Don't think humanly. Jesus said to Louisa that all generations will call you blessed. This was in Vine 13, November 8th, Vine 13. And it means that it's going to happen. She's going to be beatified. And once she's beatified, the whole face of the earth changes. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's blessed on earth is blessed in heaven. So what's God waiting for? He's waiting for us, you know, just like I said about the priest, to read, to study, to put this into practice, to pray for this great blessing. And this is why we're praying for Pentecost Sunday, which is Our Lady's Day as well this year, to get everything off the ground so that the kingdom can be established soon on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, no one could have made the aura of sweet peace breathe inside and outside of you. This is a good way of describing what you're reading. This aura of sweet peace breathes, this breath of God breathing inside and outside of you. You feel this coolness in a hot summer day. Wow, that's really wonderful. But Jesus says, I'm doing this. It's the breath of God, the Ruah of God. This new beginning that's coming. Now, again, this is volume 9. And this breath that's coming, if you want to say, is volume 11 through volume 19. And it's the living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. She's getting a taste of it with this cool breeze. And then Jesus says, only the one who is all peace is doing this. And if a breath of disturbance could surprise him, he would cease to be God. Do you see what Jesus is saying? What is this peace but Jesus? As you read, what makes you so happy? It's Jesus. What makes you so peaceful? It's Jesus. See, that's the voice of Christ. Peaceful, joyful, happy. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no doubts. You begin to understand this voice of Christ. It's always peaceful. It's always joyful. It's always happy. You read it and you go, wow. The eternal awe of God, as St. Thomas Aquinas says. This eternal awe. This is just amazing of Christ. This is the one voice, okay? Now, the evil one, our voice is filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's our voice. That's the human will. The evil one's voice is filled with anger and hatred and misery. It's filled with everything that is opposed to God. It's a mockery of what God is saying. And that's why, you know, sometimes when you pray, don't curse yourself. Don't curse yourself. What does that mean? What the devil does is, you're not worthy. We're not worthy of this. Who do you think you are? God's going to give you this? You're never going to have this. I want to give you my peace. Yeah, that's never going to happen. That's the evil one. It's God doesn't love you. Look at your life. God loves you, and you go through all this. I doubt it. That's the evil one. He and the voices are all sound the same. One is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. That's Jesus. One is filled with worry, fear, anxiety. That's our own voice. And one is filled with curses. You're not worthy. You're no good. Look at you. You know, that's people who steal. People who steal. Let's just focus on that. What happens with people that steal? What do they say? I'm a thief. It's not, I'm a person who fell into the sin of thievery. No, I'm a thief. I am a thief. No, you're a son of God, daughter of God. You know, God is calling you to forgive yourself, turn back to Him and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Help me. I want heaven. I don't want to continue to live this life. Whatever sin it is, I don't want to continue to live this. I want heaven. I want you, Lord Jesus. I want what you want for me. I want to become your divine masterpiece. You do this, Lord. You know, and surrender to Him. Be docile. Be submissive to Him. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, who could have brought this peace inside and outside of you? Only God, who is all peace. A breath of disturbance could never surprise Him. Because if it surprised Him, he would cease to be God. Therefore, His majesty would be obfuscated. His greatness would be shrunk. His power would be weakened. In sum, the whole of the divine being would receive a shake. And the one who possesses you, the one whom you possess, the one who is over you, He, the Lord God Almighty, watches over you continuously for as many breaths for any breath of disturbance. That's what Jesus is doing with you and me. As you read, as you study, he says, I will put at a distance anything that disturbs you. Anything that will, that he is going to reign in you. He's beginning to reign in you. Nothing can disturb him in you. The one you possess, the one who possesses you, the one who watches over you, he loves you so much that he watches over you continuously to see if that nothing will disturb you. So what does that mean for us? No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. God is watching over us. And if we fall into sin, he's saying to us, you know, you got to turn to me. You know, what was that one saint? He would say, sorry. Sorry. He'd make the sign of the cross over himself. When any disturbance would happen, he'd say, may this sign of the cross, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, drive away all evil from me. And he would do that throughout the day if a disturbance came in. May the sign of the cross, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make all evil, all disturbance flee from me. And he would do it often. Again, that's a discipline. That's a means of healing. I mean, this is what we do. We eat properly. We drink properly. We exercise properly. We sleep properly. We don't do that which harms us. We want to bring about healing. By eating properly, sleeping properly, exercising properly, drinking properly. I mean, hydrating yourself. This is, again, very, very important. But what we're learning is things in the water, a lot of stuff in the water is bad for us. Very, very bad for us. You know, the way of purifying the water. Fluoride, for example. Fluoride was developed in Rochester, New York in 1957. They had tons of fluoride. What do we do with it? And one doctor in Rochester said, U of R said, did you know it's like 0.01% of fluoride will help your teeth? Government goes, good. Now we know where to put this. We put it in the water. All the water in the United States has fluoride in it. What does fluoride do? Fluoride affects the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, and calcifies it. What does that do? It causes arthritis. It causes thyroid problems. And who do you know has a thyroid problem? It's because of the water that you're drinking. How do you get rid of that? Boride. Borax there's two places in the world, listen to this, that has borax or boride, and that's Turkey and California, Death Valley. Two places. If you take a little amount of that, it decalcifies the pituitary gland. And what does it do? Your arthritis disappears. Your thyroid begins to be healed. Drink as much water as you can. I know there's one place near my house. It's probably, maybe 7 miles away. It's a water plant. It's well water, and they call it a healing well water, and it's from an old shack. And they pump out the water from this well that's in the middle of two of the Finger Lakes. As I drive by, I go, people are drinking this water from this old shack. And what is in this ground but a well? Speaking of wells, you have Our Lady at Our Lady of America in Rome City, Indiana. The water there is healing, and she says there will be more miracles than at Lourdes and Fatima than in, here in the United States because of what Our Lady is going to do. Great things are coming. Great things are in store, and our God is saying to us, I want to tell you how this is all going to happen. Everything is interconnected. Our Lady of Revelation, it's interconnected with the divine will. 40 days after Louisa died, Our Lady of Revelation says to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's a new beginning that's coming. So God is possessing you. You're possessing God. God is watching over you. God is waiting to see if anything disturbs you. Why? To heal you. See, this, the whole reason for the divine will is perfect healing. So he says this, remember that in all of my comings, everything that Jesus said to Louisa in her life, I have always corrected you if there was a breath of disturbance in you. And nothing would displease me more than not seeing you in perfect peace. And only then would I disappear from you, when I would see you all peaceful again. And that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting to bring us to himself, the Prince of Peace, to Our Lady, the Queen of Peace. This new Adam and the new Eve is what our God wants us to begin to live. He says, remember, I want to correct you. So how would he do that? He would send her to the priest, and the priest would help by doing what? Saying to Louisa, you must put everything in writing. You must put everything in writing or you will go to hell. And she says, I will obey. I'll put everything in writing. I don't want anybody to know what Jesus is saying to me. Why? I don't know if it's God. Are these fantasies? Are these dreams? Are these demons? And the priest says, put it in writing. He is the same thing for us. When we go to the priest and we say, Father, help me understand this. I want to understand it. I want this spirituality. I want this gift that Jesus gave to Louisa. What does this mean? Tell me how I can live this more. And at first, you know, like I said, the priest will be, you know, it's the same as what the church has always taught, or the opposite. And you just keep on saying, Father, I need it. And no one can tell you not to read. You know, the Vatican doesn't even do that. In 1967, Pope St. Paul the Sixth said, the index is closed. The index is gone. You can read what you want, but be careful what you read. There's no forbidding you to read. That's not part of the church. It used to be, but not anymore. So Jesus says, fantasies, dreams, and much less the devil, do not have this virtue of making you peaceful, full of peace, full of joy, full of happiness. And even less can they give it to others. And so what is happening is, as people read what I tell you, Louisa, they are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. As little or as much as they want. 30, 60, or 100-fold. Whatever they want, I will give to them. Through you, Louisa. I can always tell when someone in the divine will is not reading. They are not peaceful. They are not joyful. They are not happy. But I always can tell one who is reading the divine will. They're peaceful, joyful, happy. Jesus is there. And this is what he says to her. Therefore, calm yourself and do not be ungrateful to me. The same thing for us. Calm yourself. Don't be ungrateful to Jesus. Thank him, praise him, love him, glorify him. Enter into the rounds, especially in this season, the Easter, the Pentecost rounds. pray them right up to the Feast of Christ the King, thanking Jesus, glorifying Jesus, praising Jesus, loving Jesus, so that one with him, you can adore the Father and give back to the Father what he so rightly deserves as our Lord, our God. This is a glorious time. This is a magnificent time. And Jesus has given us this short period of time so that we can work with Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.